Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:33, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 8th. And today is has been an eventful day overall, and not least in the energy and the bond markets. First off, in energy, oil prices were up $1.86. $1.86 is a fairly substantial move on something that is priced at less than $50. So when we look at that overall, it is because the USA production came in below expectations. So we're not quite yet at the point where drilling will kick in terms of unconventional oil. Then there's continued speculation that the Russians, the Saudis, and the Iranians are going to agree on a production cap. I personally have I think that this is more of a jawboning exercise than anything else, but the very fact that they're talking at all would suggest that they are under quite a bit of stress and have an incentive to try and support prices. When we look at the price action, then oil prices have bounced from the region of the moving average and are rapidly approaching the upper side of what has been a 3-4 month range. And in order to conclude that we're back in a demand-dominated environment overall, then they would have to sustain a move to new recovery highs. Natural gas prices were also firm in here today and are continuing to bounce from the region of their respective trend mean. Personally, I think that natural gas probably is a lower risk way of looking at the energy price or energy prices overall than oil prices. It's less susceptible to political influence, and then because it is still only trading at $2.80, and a lot of break even for unconventional supply is around $4, that it probably has further to rise without causing any undue pressure on the market. And the other big story today was the ECB. And the ECB said, oh, we're not going to add additional liquidity right now. But of course, we have to look at what they've done historically, and they have been entirely reactionary in their way of doing things. And when the ECB was initially conceived, nobody really believed that they would ever have the same degree of responsibility that they do right now. But they have, as a result of various crises, had to take on additional responsibilities. And the rules that they are really under right now are self-imposed. In the eventuality that there's going to be some other crisis, then they're quite likely to just set aside any rules that they've imposed on themselves and do whatever is necessary. And Mario Draghi himself has been one of the people that has been at the forefront of saying they will do whatever is necessary. That's unlikely to change. But what they do want is governments to meet them halfway. And I don't think there's anybody would argue that the Eurozone is badly in need of a growth stimulus. There'll be a lot of people, particularly in Germany, who will not be particularly fond of a fiscal stimulus, but if the region is ever going to get out of the funk that it's in, it's going to need growth, and a fiscal stimulus would certainly achieve that goal. And by and large, we're getting, and this is certainly not just the case for the Eurozone, but it is populist parties are increasingly getting into power, and they are much more likely to adopt a fiscal stimulus than anybody else, and that would help to inflate asset prices. When we look at the bond market reaction to that decision by the ECB, it's really an indication of just how reliant on additional liquidity the market is. So bunds, in fact, were not down the most in here. The bund future was down about 80 ticks. Gilts were down a full point, and the long bond in the US was down 2 full points. But you didn't have the same move in the 10-year. So the long bond is more attuned to perceptions at the the present time. But what we do see overall is that, and this is certainly the case for both bunds and treasuries, is that the yield was right at the lower side of its range and has now rallied rather emphatically to reassert the 2 to 3 month process of mean reversion. But considering, particularly for the Eurozone, that they're not going to be raising interest rates anytime soon, then it's unlikely to be anything other than mean reversion. And not least because if the ECB is reactionary, we know that they're going to have to react to two major news stories likely to manifest themselves at some point in the next 6 months. And the first is the Italian referendum on reform of the Senate, and the other is the activation of Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty by the UK. And that will require at least some form of intervention or support from the ECB, just because of the uncertainty that it will engender in markets. When we look at stock markets and their reaction to both the bond market and the news flow, then we haven't had any kind of real dynamic move. By and large, it was a mixed day on Europe. The DAX was down about 0.75%, whereas the Spanish index was up about 1%. And generally speaking, a flat day overall. This incredibly inert environment continues on Wall Street, where we're getting up for a couple of days and down for a couple of days, but not in any kind of dynamic fashion. This incredibly inert environment is not going to persist indefinitely, but what it is doing is slowly but surely unwinding the short-term overbought condition. And as long as that's all it is, then there's very little reason to question the consistency of the medium-term uptrend. And because the market has been able to sustain the move to new highs, then there are a number of touchstones within the overall bull market environment, because you have the region of the 200-day moving average, and then the upper side of the range, and then the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows. And before we could conclude that a top has been completed, all three of those would need to be broken. And in the absence of that, we can only conclude that we're still in a medium-term bull market environment overall. And the other moves in here today were in the the currency markets, where the yen was a little bit weaker, the euro a little bit stronger, and the pound was down an additional 0.5%, so it continues to pull back from that 135 area, and that really does help to confirm that the Bank of England does not want to see the pound strengthen past 135, not least because Mark Carney was testifying and rather self-congratulatory earlier this week, saying that the UK had been able to avoid a recession because of the intervention of the Bank of England, and a large part of that is because of the weakness of the pound. So they're not going to want that pound to get any stronger from here. When we look at some of those Asian stock markets, then the Hang Seng really does stand out, because it is not only being led higher by property developers and casinos, but it's really outperforming the mainland Chinese markets as well. Those casinos are probably worth just an additional comment on, because they had trended lower for much of last year and have bounced rather emphatically and broken those medium-term downtrends. And of course, the property developers in Hong Kong are very finely attuned to U.S. interest rate policy, and are obviously concluding that there isn't going to be an interest rate hike, at least for the next couple of months at least. In India today as well, the Nifty continues to march back up towards its all-time high. There is a little bit of a short-term overbought condition right now, but really you'd need a very clear downward dynamic for that to offer anything other than temporary resistance in here. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.